one time or another, sorry, Claire Blake, Afternoons, 4BC, why do unhappy couples stay together? Now, there are obvious financial reasons. Things have changed a lot for women, and the laws changing in the 70s changed a lot too. But we saw some details today about couples divorcing. Maybe not a new trend, but a new trend in honesty, perhaps. Talk of people who do the HSC divorce, they call it, or that'd be the OP divorce up here. Those parents that 1 year in advance, some people actually kiss and cuddle in public and sleep in the same bed for the benefit of the children. I just found this absolutely fascinating and a little bit sad. And Katrina Ohner from Ohner Family Law is on the line to help us explain a few of these things and how that happens. Katrina, is this something that you've been seeing for a long time?
Yes, definitely. Mostly from women. In my experience, they haven't told their partner that they've been unhappy for some time, and but they've known for some time that eventually when the children are older, they will leave. So I see a lot of that. I also see a lot of where they stay together by mutual agreement, even though they know that the relationship is over. So you see the other side as well, where the husband or, you know, both partners agree that, you know, when the children reach a certain age that they will formally separate houses, but they'll keep up the facade in the meantime. So, yeah, definitely see a lot of it. It's nothing new. I've been doing this for 15 years and I've seen the same thing over and over again.
If they think they're fooling the kids, they're crazy.
Yeah, look, I think for some people honestly believe that if they still sleep in the same bed and they still socialise together in front of the kids, you know, and some people just can't sort of bear the thought of two separate households where the parents are happy, you know, and there's social science on that going both ways.
I imagine, and there's also dangers when you introduce step people into a household, and I imagine people take that into mind too. But I saw an article where a lady was saying that she was really surprised because she didn't realise she lived in one of these families until she saw went to a friend's house, and their parents actually did love each other, and she couldn't believe that it could be that way.
See, that's the this is what the article children not to be in the same house. With unhappy parents, because you're teaching them, you know, you're teaching them what you say a positive relationship should be like. And if that's not good, then you're actually doing them a disservice and sort of teaching them the wrong thing. So that's exactly what you're saying about this woman who thought that, you know, her parents' relationship, that it's not a good idea to do that because, you know, a loving relationship should be like.
And previously it was very difficult. I mean, going back into the 60s and 70s, very difficult for a woman to leave because of the finance and things like that. But now because you need two people working just to keep a mortgage going, it's difficult for men and women to leave for financial reasons.
Yeah, it is. And that, look, they're the two biggest reasons you see, financial and the kids. Or usually for the women in particular, it's mostly about, you know, the kids. Men, and both of them worry about finances, but it is the case now that, because the cost of living is so high as well in comparison to, you know, 30, 40 years ago, that they still struggle because you have to go from living, you know, a certain way. If you're not wealthy, you have to go from living a certain way to then having to fund two houses, two sets of expenses. And I mean, basically the cost doubles. So that is scary, and it is hard to do this.
Parents, 18 if you're trying to struggle with school fees as well. Now, study in the UK, 2,000 married parents, 18% of them say that they have set a date in mind to leave their partner. Yep. That's, most people do that to get married, not unmarried.
I know. Look, it comes back to this thing where they've decided either jointly or one of them in their mind, like the woman has said, thought, oh gosh, you know, this isn't working, but the kids are too young. I'm not going to be able to afford it on my own, or you know, things are going to be too hard. You know, that's an example. Many women do that. I had a woman very recently come in and say to me, look, we've been living separately for about 10 years, and she was waiting until the daughter was about 16, which she is now, and she's making the move to leave. And she'd already decided some time ago that she was going to do that when she was older.
I think if both the parents know this is going to happen, then they can both mentally, emotionally and financially prepare. But often, and I know you've told us this before, one is playing serious catch-up.
Yeah, look, usually, yeah, that's exactly right. So the spouse that initiates the separation is usually has usually already done their grieving for the breakdown of the relationship before they've told the party that the relationship's over. And then when they tell the other party, that party's in shock, which is part of the problem, right?
Because yes.
If the communication was there and everything was okay, then that party wouldn't be in shock about it.
Mm.
And then that party's in shock. So the party that's leaving or not, you know, or the party that ends it, say, you know, has usually already accepted the fact that, you know, it's not working and that they need to move forward. And then the other party's, you know, in an emotional mess. And that makes it difficult to negotiate things initially because usually the party who's ending things is, you know, 2 to 3 months ahead of that whole sort of grieving slash
and has the
process.
Benefit of that planning, I guess. Now, councils would tell us that a percentage of these marriages could be fixed and saved as well. Do a lot of people attempt that before they make these decisions?
Yeah, look, some have. Some people that I see have already been to marriage counselling, you know, more than once, and it hasn't worked. Obviously, if they've come to my office, it hasn't worked.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and some people have sort of reached that point where they think, oh, this is over, and then they go to marriage counselling and, you know, it's all too late. So, look, for some people they go to counselling and it would work. Obviously, I don't see those people. And for other people it doesn't for various reasons, yeah.
Now, do you see the people who, according to this study, say plan 10 years ahead? Do you have anyone in your office that says, right, I want to do this in 10 years. What do I need to do? What steps do I need to take? Nobody's telling you at that point?
No. I spoke to someone this morning, coincidentally, not 10 years in advance, says, look, I want it to work, but he's got the serious issue, and if he doesn't get help for it, I've decided I'm going to leave and I'm going to give him 12 months to see if he changes, you know? So I haven't had someone that said, oh, in 10 years I'm leaving, but I do get a lot of calls, usually from women, I have to say, probably 90% from women who say, look, thinking of leaving their partner but haven't as yet and want to know what would happen if they did. And then some of those people don't leave.
It's a changing world we're living in. It's great to get your perspective on this. Thank you very much, Katrina.
Thanks, Claire.
Katrina Ohner, who from Ohner Family Law. And if that's you or that you did that planning, we'd love to hear from you. And a lot of people now manage to separate without the acrimony. Maybe you did that. Call us 13 13 32 here on 4BC. One health.